You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network. Made you blue, search down deep within yourself. Make it medicine for someone else, someone else. Share the joys you wish you know. Hold on to the tears that you shed. Bottle them with care as though for yourself. Make it medicine for someone else, someone else. You gotta go on. And it's hard, I know. Sometimes the way you see it grow, it's for you not to take it personal, 'cause it's not about yourself. Yes, it's hard to face when you suffer for someone else. Share the battle, good and bad. The hardest time you've ever had. Take off the trophies, take them off the shelf. Make it medicine for someone else. Someone grow. It's for you not to take it personal, 'cause it's not about yourself. Yes, it's hard when you suffer for someone else. Take all the trials you've been through. Go through. Take off the trophies, take them off the shelf. Yeah, yeah. Make it medicine for someone else. Someone else.
Welcome to the Mind, Body, and Soul Show with your host, Big Joe. I am Big Joe right here on We Talk Radio. We'll have a guest in a few minutes. Right now, we're just going to get some easy listening in. D-Ray, I know you got it.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You cannot imagine.
Peace.
Welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul with your host, Big Joe. I am Big Joe, sitting here. I believe I have a guest with me. Minister Lee, are you on?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fine by God's grace. Brother, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Can you please give us a quick introduction?
Yes, I'm Minister Lee Muhammad of Muhammad Mosque number 52 here in the city of Fort Worth, Texas. We are located at 1431 Evans Avenue. You can find us online at NOI.org, and we have a YouTube channel at Mosque 52 AV.
Now, I want to have a few. I want to have a quick conversation with you, if you don't mind. I wanted to know. I'm personally not of the Islam faith, so I wanted to know a little bit about the faith. Can you explain it to me, if you could? Is it a faith or is it a religion?
Interesting question. It is. It's a faith and. It is classified as one of the three major world religions, the monotheistic faiths, which is Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And the revelation or the holy book that all Muslims read and study from, of course, would be the Holy Quran. The Jewish people have the Torah, the Christians have the Gospel, and the Muslims have the Holy Quran. In the Holy Quran, in the fifth chapter, it says, "This day have I completed my favor on you and perfected for you your religion, and I have given to you Islam as a religion." And then in the 30th surah of the Holy Quran, it says, "Set your face being upright for religion, the nature in which Allah God has created men." So if somebody's going to give you something as a religion, and then somebody says, act according to your nature, then what God is offering us is a natural religion that coincides with our nature. And that natural religion is obedience to the will of God. And we have to always ask the question, you know, if God created Adam, then what religion did God give Adam? And he didn't give him one by name. It was just simply obey me. So obedient. So as a Muslim, we try to be obedient, which is according to our nature. So it is classified as one of the world religions, but we're taught that a religion is not what you say. Your religion is what you do. Your religion is your actions. Your religions are your words. And so we believe that all of the prophets of God really drink from the same source, and they all came from one God. They drink from that same fountain of truth, and all of them submitted their will to do the will of the God. And so we try to do that as well. We simply just call that Islam, or submission to the will of God.
Now, that is very interesting. That is very interesting. Again, I don't know a lot about the Islamic faith. When we was talking earlier, we got into the whole conversation of, is the Islamic faith basis around Ishmael, with Ishmael being Abraham's first son, but not the promised son, as the Bible declares. Many people believe that Islam is from the religion of Ishmael. Is there any truth to that?
The Arab people trace their lineage or their descendancy from Ishmael, okay? Of course, the promise was for his son, born from Sarah. Hagar gave birth to Ishmael, the handmaiden. So the Arab people trace their lineage to Ishmael. The Jewish people trace it to Isaac. But interestingly enough, our vantage point on that is that Abraham is considered the father of the righteous in all of the three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And so there's a lot of confusion in the world according to who is what they would consider the choice of God or the people of God. And we don't necessarily subscribe to a chosen people per se, except that God will choose you to be an example for the rest of the world. So we really don't spend a lot of time in argument about Ishmael, Isaac. It causes a bunch of confusion because the basis of all of these religions is actually Abraham. And it was Abraham who was, again, so obedient to the will of God that he became the friend of God. And so he's the one who laid the path for the righteous to follow. And so you have these two groups that are arguing over Ishmael and Isaac. And the only difference is that they can claim their lineage to one or the other. But the point is that God did fulfill his promise to Abraham. But he also said, if you read the Bible very carefully, he said he was going to make a great nation out of Isaac, but he was also going to make a great nation out of Ishmael. So he didn't just, if you pardon my slang, he didn't just kick one to the curb. He blessed both of them.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He did. And that's a good point because that's exactly what the word says. The word says that not only will he bless Isaac, but he will also bless Ishmael because of the blessing of Abraham. I mean, you couldn't give one a blessing without blessing the other. So they both became a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very valid point. I got to ask the big question right here, right now. I got to ask the big question. And I think my big question would be, who do men of or people of the Islam faith, who do they say Christ is? Jesus Christ, Yeshua? Who do they say Christ is? Do they say that he's the Son of God, or do they say that he's just a prophet? It's almost like the same questions that was asked in the Bible to the disciples. Who do men say that I am, and who do you say that I am? So, again, this is just to better get an understanding. What is the belief about Yeshua?
Well, in the dominant Muslim world, the concept of Son of God would be rejected outright based on a person's understanding of being the Son of God. Now, what a lot of people don't know is that you really can't be a Muslim unless you believe in Jesus. And of all of the men who are quoted. Moses is talked about more in the Quran than any other prophet. Jesus is actually quoted more in the Quran. And he is called a perfect example. And so the confusion comes up when you have two different groups with two different perspectives of one man, okay? And if you can just imagine a volleyball with different colors, four different colors, and you got four people sitting on one side of the volleyball, and they say, well, what do you see? Well, I see red. The other person, no, it's yellow. The other person say, no, it's green. And the other person say, no, it's blue, right? So you're sitting from four different vantage points, and you're looking at one volleyball, and you only see what you can see. So in the dominant Muslim world, they will reject the concept of somebody saying, well, Jesus was the Son of God, because they don't believe that that meant Jesus, that God was going around in Palestine 2,000 years ago getting virgin girls pregnant, okay? So they will reject that. However, as a student of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I study both the Bible and the Quran, and I don't study the Bible for debate. I study the Bible to seek that common denominator and to seek truth. So in the book of Romans, Paul said that Jesus was of the bloodline of David, but declared to be the Son by the Spirit. Okay, well, if you go into Matthew and the book of Matthew begins with a genealogy, right? And that genealogy is not traced through Mary. That genealogy is traced through Joseph, which goes all the way back to David. So Paul was telling the truth, but what he was saying was that the way you become the Son of God is when you submit your will entirely to do the will of God, and he takes you in as your son and endows you with power from himself, and you become a vessel and an instrument through which God works. And so that's why he's called in the Quran the perfect example. And so that's why we have to really, you know, we really have to delve into both books, because those, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the Bible and the Quran are not really two enemy books. If we just look for the truth and the principles that undergird both books, we will come to the truth. And so another thing that a lot of people don't realize is that in the dominant Muslim world, again, they expect a man by the name of Mahdi to come at the end times, but they also expect Jesus at the end time to be with the Mahdi. And so that would be an interesting point in that, you know, and this is why I don't get into a lot of arguments, because if Jesus and Muhammad were in America today, I don't believe they would be arguing over different beliefs and whatnot. I believe they would be trying to work together to overcome Satan and his world that he has established.
That is a very good point. We're going to get to some music real quick right here on Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe right here on We Talk Radio. I hope you don't mind. Do you, Minister? We're going to get into some music real quick, and then we'll come right back into conversation.
Brother, I used to sing in the choir, so go right ahead.
B. Ray, I know you got something for me. Let me see what you got for me, B. She might be checking phone lines.
Maybe I succeeded a little. I jumped up from the floor to the middle. You think I want the credit? I don't. Cause the glory ain't made for me, no. I know who sits on the throne, who makes the stage and writes the song. And I know I couldn't do this on my own. And as much as I complain, I've seen more sunshine than rain. And I could thank my lucky stars, but that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance. But truth is, I'm not lucky enough.
To Mind, Body, and Soul, right here on We Talk Radio with your host, Big Joe. I am Big Joe, and I do have a guest, Minister Lee Muhammad. If you would, Minister, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
If you would, can you give us your contact information?
Yes, sir. We are located in the city of Fort Worth. We are part of the Nation of Islam here in the Western Hemisphere. We are Muhammad's Mosque number 52. We are located at 1431 Evans Avenue, and we also have a website, www.noi.org, and a YouTube channel, Mosque52AB.
Now, you made a statement. You said that you believe that Jesus is coming, and you made a reference to another name that I'm not sure of. I believe it's Maccabee.
M-A-H-D-I, which would be Maccabee.
Maccabee,
yes. Yes.
Can you explain to us who don't know about Maccabee, can you explain to us who he is?
Well, in eschatology, you have Christian eschatology and Islamic eschatology, which basically deals with the end times, okay? which we believe right now, if you look at all of the signs that Yahshua spoke of in the book of Matthew, there will be wars and rumors of wars, famine,
plague,
pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Well, I think the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims could come to some conclusion that we're looking at the end times right now based on the prediction of not only Yahshua, but all of the prophets. We're living in that time now. And so in both of these religions, they are expecting one to come at the end who would destroy the Antichrist. Okay? And this is where we have to ask the question, okay, you're both looking for a man to come and destroy the Antichrist, okay? Are you looking for two different men, or are you looking for one man who has two different titles, okay? To be clear, Christ was not the last name of Yahshua, okay? Christ is a title. It actually means, according to the Greek language, the crusher, or the crusher of the wicked, okay? Messiah is another title that means the anointed one. He's anointed to come and crush the wicked. The Mahdi is one who Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said he would come and he would set down every tyrant and ruler and set justice in the earth. So you got two titles, and the titles are names. They're not just names, but they're names that represent a function, okay? So the Prophet Muhammad predicted that this Mahdi would come to crush the Antichrist, and that Jesus would be with him to crush the Antichrist. And so really, really, man, we can find some common ground, because if we're tired of Satan's world, we need to sit down and figure out how are we going to do what Yahshua told us to do in his prayer when he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if you're going to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven, then, you know, we need to get busy, right? And we need to start looking at the word of God that we say we claim to believe in, and we need to start preparing for the end times, and one world going out and a new world coming in. But the point is, dear brother, is that they're both looking for men to come and to crush Satan and his world. And as a Muslim, again, we believe in Jesus, and we believe in the coming of the Mahdi.
Now I got to ask another tough question. Why do you feel, or why do you think, that we can't get together on one accord, even though it seems like we have the same basis, the same principles, the same guidelines. Why is it, do you think, that we can't find some common ground?
Okay. If just bear with me for a minute, because I'm going to give you a very, very short biography of myself to explain that question, okay?
All right.
In 1989, I was in the 12th grade in 1989. And I was in a predominantly black high school, Carter High School in Dallas, Texas, right? And I was listening to a rap song by Public Enemy, right? And Public Enemy was running down names like Farrakhan, Elijah, Marcus Garvey, Noble Jolly, and I didn't know none of these people. You understand? He mentioned Malcolm X. I didn't know who Malcolm X was. I was in the 12th grade in a predominantly black school and did not know. So what I did was I ventured into the school library, and guess what? They had an autobiography of Malcolm X. Now, what I realized once I read that book was that I didn't went through 12 years of school, and nobody taught me this, so I had to put my pride to the side and realize that I didn't know what I thought I knew. And when I put my pride to the side, I begin to study for myself, read for myself, and not let anybody else tell me or dictate to me what I should know. I went to go seek that knowledge for myself. So I think we become lazy sometimes in that, you know, we just hear somebody else say something about somebody else, and we don't do the necessary research on our own to find out what the other person actually believes, what the actual perspective is. And so what happens is we become like the Tower of Babel. And you know, in the Tower of Babel, they was all speaking a different language. And speaking a different language, they couldn't understand one another, so they just start arguing, start fighting, you know, and killing one another. But isn't it interesting, brother, that when we are born into this world, no matter what our the parents of our religion was, we all come into this world making the same sound. We take in the breath of life. When we die, we all make the same sound. We exhale, and that breath of life goes out. Now, in between the breath that comes in and the breath that goes out, that's when we speak in different languages and we argue with one another, because guess what, man? The same earth is going to take back you and me, no matter what our religious preference is. You know, we all going to have to go back to the same God who put us in this world in the first place and stand before him as judgment. So I think, brother, I think our pride steps in the way. I think that we have to start learning to speak one another's language. And when we start speaking one another's language, we may find out that we're really saying the same thing. You know, because if I offered you, if I say, brother, I got 10 denaros, you know, and you say, well, I don't want no 10 denaros. What is a denaro? I don't want that. And denaro just mean dollars. So you just turned down $10 because you didn't know what denaros meant, because you're speaking a different language. And I have to say this, brother, you know, black people are so divided over so many things. The last thing we need to be divided over is God. If anybody can unite, it should be the people of God who claim that they worship one God. If God is one, then why can't we be one? The scriptures ask the question, is Christ divided, right? So but when Paul said, is Christ divided, look what he said. He said, one follows Apollos, one say they follow Paul. But wait a minute, there's only one God. So if there's one God, the common denominator should be there. And when I was in school, I was actually pretty good in algebra. So the first thing you got to do to solve an algebraic problem is you got to find the common denominator, and you break it down and you find your solution. And that, my brother, I believe is the solution to all of our problems.
That is a good way to put it. That is a good way to put it. The Brothers of Islam, they show a lot more discipline than brothers of Christian faith. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Brother, now I appreciate that. But, you know, we are like everybody else, we're striving to be the best we can be. We're not perfect, you know, and people may see us and say we're clean cut, we're disciplined, and we're trying to be that, you know. In a world as wicked as this, we are trying to be as disciplined and as righteous as we can be. But I will say to that question, you know, we were talking earlier, our title in America is actually the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the West. Now, why do we say the Lost Found Nation of Islam in the West? Because our foreparents were stolen, kidnapped from Africa, and put in the holds of ships for 90 days at a time and brought to these shores. One out of four people on those slave ships were, in fact, Muslim. Now, I know this because Alex Haley, actually, he wrote the autobiography of Malcolm X, and Malcolm X told him that many of our fathers and mothers were Muslims when they were brought over here. And Alex Haley did the research and went back to a small village in Africa called Jufare and found out that his foreparents actually were Muslims, okay? And so, and Minister Farrakhan actually went back there and finished rebuilding the mosque that Alice Haley has started to build. So my point in that is this, is that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who led the Nation of Islam when he was among us for over 40 years, he actually taught us Islam out of the Bible. Okay, I'm going to say that again. He taught us Islam out of the Bible. If Islam means righteousness, if Islam means submitting our will to do the will of God, then you should be able to find that in the book that we say is a holy book, a holy Bible. So our diet changed, the way we treated one another changed. The first thing he told us to do is start calling one another brother. And if we start calling one another brother and sister long enough, perhaps we may start treating each other like that. So he went through the Bible. He showed us certain principles of righteousness. And if we say, we just can't say with our mouths that we submit to the will of God, we have to show that in our action. When people always ask me, do y'all believe in Jesus? I say, not only do we believe in Jesus, we're trying to follow the path that Jesus followed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody that said they were a Christian, and by the way, the word Christian means to be crystallized into oneness with God through the example of Jesus Christ. Well, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be crystallized into oneness with God. Wouldn't it be nice if we actually, you know, not only had the title of Muslim or Christian, but we actually lived that life? Wouldn't that be a wonderful world? So we just try to live the life. We try to be what we say we are. And Jesus, by our definition, man, he was the most disciplined, the most righteous, you know, the most obedient. So if you just take away the word Muslim, I mean, he's the same thing I'm trying to be. And so I'll close that point by saying this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, one day, you won't even be able to know the difference between a Muslim and a Christian in America. He said, because to be a good Christian is to be a good Muslim, and to be a good Muslim really is to be a good Christian.
Wow. I'm going to give you a minute. If you had an opportunity to speak to the world, to give us some insight to let us know some information, I'm going to give you the floor and you to utilize it as you will. If there's any message that you would like America to know right now, the floor is yours, or the nation, the world, the floor is yours.
Yes, sir, brother. Well, right now I can, you know, I would only say what my leader and my teacher, the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, is trying to say to the world right now. That, you know, right now we're under a plague, a pandemic, you know, the government is in disarray. You know, people have tried to charge us with being anti-American and we want to bring down the government of America. No, sir. No, sir. America is doing a fine job of tearing herself down, because Jesus said it like this. He said, if Satan cast out Satan, how can his kingdom stand? And so you have in the highest levels of government, the so-called leaders of the free world, arguing with one another like they in high school or junior high or even elementary at worst, or even babies in a crib crying at one another. And the whole country is going straight down the tubes, brother. See, a lot of people, they preach the love of God, which is good. They teach on the mercy of God. That is good. But very few people teach on the wrath of God. What happens when you have a child that refuses to be obedient? When they treat the Ten Commandments as if the Ten Commandments are 10 suggestions, and you don't have to follow them if you don't feel like it. Well, adultery becomes the order of the day. Stealing becomes the order of the day. At what point does the father pull out his strap and start whipping the children until the children get in line. Brother, I'm saying to you and I'm saying to the world that we are not, the judgment is not to come. I'm saying to you and the world, we're living in the judgment right now. And the judgment begins when we hear the truth and how we act according to that truth. That's when the judgment begins. God is on scene today. We don't teach the coming of God. We teach the presence of God. When you see rain, hail, snow, earthquakes, fire on the West Coast, ice on the East Coast, hurricanes going up south, and they traveling the same route that the slave ships came into America. Those hurricanes and tornadoes, they come in the same route, and they bringing down America because we believe in the 18th chapter of Babylon. The 18th chapter of Babylon says, Babylon the Great has fallen because she's become a habitation of devils. A devil is anyone who lives their life in total rebellion to God. And America has become that. She's the modern Babylon. In fact, John the Revelator didn't say ancient Babylon. He called it a mystery Babylon because he wasn't talking about ancient Babylon. He was talking about a Babylon that's coming in the future. And then the book says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin and her plagues. We who consider ourselves righteous, and look, I consider myself a brother to anybody who says they love God, who say they love Jesus. Come on, man, let's unite. Let's pool our resources. Establish righteousness back in our communities again, because in the 60s, man, we were better off in the 60s because we had to struggle for everything. And we would open the church between Monday and Friday and we would teach our children. And then something happened. We handed our children over to the government, to the system. And now our children are going AWOL, going crazy because we took our eyes off the prize, brother. You know, in the book of Psalms, it says, yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils. We've given our children up, man, and we're chasing a dollar, and we're going down the drain. So I say, man, let's take the Bible. Let's take the Quran. Let's take the Old Testament, the New Testament. Let's take all of these scriptures of God, and let's come up with a curriculum that we can re-educate our people into the ways of moral righteousness and correction. Because when you are standing upright, brother, that means you got a backbone. You're a man, you're a woman, you got a backbone. When you fall down on all fours, that means you got a weak backbone, which means you become like an animal. But when you have no backbone at all, you become like that serpent in the garden that travels on the ground seeking to deceive whoever they can deceive. And so what we need in our community, in the city of Fort Worth, state of Texas, in America, is a moral rejuvenation, brother, because we are living in the judgment of God or the time of his judgment, and we need a moral rejuvenation. We need what they used to have. You know, they had them tents out, and they call it a revival. Well, we all need to revive our faith, right? And instead of talking God and talking Jesus, no, be Jesus, be God. In the book of Luke, Jesus got in trouble because he was doing good works, right? And he said to the people at that time, the Jewish people at that time, he said, for what good work are you seeking to stone me for? He said, oh, we're not seeking to stone you for any of the good works you're doing. We're stoning you because you being a man saying you are God. And guess what Jesus said? Because Jesus, you know, he did a lot of studying of the Old Testament, right? He started quoting the Old Testament that they read out of, or at least they had the book, but he proved to them that they had the book, but they wasn't actually reading the book. So he said, is it not written in your law that ye are all gods, children of the Most High God? And he was talking about the book of Psalms 82. Ye are all gods, children of the Most High God. Well, if we're children of God, then that means one day we should want to be like our Father. We should want to be like Jesus. We should want to exercise the power of God in his name. Because Jesus said, whatsoever I hear, that I speak. Whatever I'm commanded to do, that I do. But the world is so far from that, brother. So I'm saying, all of us, man, let's get back to what we say we believe. And not just believe it, Let's carry it into practice. And so that's what I would say to you. That's what I would say to the world, beloved. And I would say that, you know, don't be afraid of the Muslims. We are your brothers. We are your sisters. As I told you earlier, most of us that you see, we came out of the church, brother. You know, we was raised in the church. You know, first I was in the Catholic church, then I was in the Methodist church, you know, and I sung in the choir, you know. And when I began to study and I accepted Islam, I didn't throw Jesus or Yahshua to the side, you know. I didn't give him up. No. In fact, about it, I came to love him more because I came to understand him more and what his purpose was for even coming into this world, man, that if we will follow that example, you will see little Jesuses running around everywhere. And wouldn't it be a better world if we just followed that example? And so that's what I would say, dear brother. And, you know, I thank you for allowing me this opportunity to speak to the world and to speak to you and to speak to your listening audience, because I think that, you know, we do a lot of talking to each other or talking at each other, but we don't talk to each other.
I'm out with
the Final Call newspaper, and I'm doing what I believe is the right thing to do. You know, it's not my job. I'm doing it because I want to spread knowledge and information, news that you can use that can help us see through this dark hour. And people will drive by me and they'll say, well, I don't want that paper. I'm a Christian. I say, well, if you was a Christian, you wouldn't have to tell me that, because I didn't have to tell you I was a Muslim, because you see me out here doing what Muslims do. So I'm saying to all of my Christian brothers and sisters, you know, it says in the Bible that they will come to Yahshua, and Yahshua will tell them, when I was hungry, you fed me not. When I was in prison, you visited me not. When I was sick, you didn't come. He said, well, Yahshua, when were you sick and we didn't visit you? When were you in prison and we didn't visit you? Huh? He said, as you have done to the least of these, my brothers, you have also done it unto me. Dear family, we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to please God. And all roads lead back to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. So that will be my message, dear brother, and I hope that you and me can continue our newly found friendship. And I pray Allah, God, which, by the way, we refer to God as Allah, but don't get all twisted behind that. Allah is just an Arabic word, which means the God, Ilallah, okay? So in the Hebrew Bible, when it says Elohim, E-L, it starts with an E-L, right? Yes. But that's Hebrew. In Arabic, it's A-L. That's the only difference, E-L and A-L. So Elohim means God. In Arabic, it's Elohim or Allah. You're saying the same thing. So let's stop getting confused over language. We're talking about the same God. And so I pray to Almighty God, Allah, that we will come together as a people, as a community, quit arguing about, you know, little small trifling things. You know, yes, we have different perspectives. Yes, we have different opinions. But guess what? You had different perspectives in your own household, right? You know, when you live with your brothers and your sisters, you used to fight over the last piece of pizza and all that kind of stuff. You fought over who stayed in the restroom longer than anybody else. But guess what, man? You know, when you came out of that house and somebody messed with one of y'all at school, then the whole family jumped in. Because you were, in fact, a family. And I believe that God really frowns upon us when he sees all of his children arguing and fighting with one another. Because I know how my children arguing and fighting with one another. I say, but you're family. You should stick together. And so that's what we have to do, brother. We have to unite, pool our resources, and let's begin to build the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, brother.
I thank you. Can you do me one last favor? When we end our show here, we thank you for coming on. Mind, Body, and Soul with Big Joe. I'm your host, Big Joe. Minister Lee Muhammad, I thank you so much. The way we end our show is we pray. I would like to ask that you pray us out tonight.
Oh, brother, I would be honored to do that. And I will be as universal as I know to be.
Just let the Lord use you.
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, the originator and the creator and the source of our existence, thank you for this moment in time. We thank you for being alive in this day to see you work your awesome power. We thank you for this show. We thank you for allowing us the platform to praise your name, to teach, to share, to come together so that we can all reach a higher level of understanding and bring about the unity that you desire. We desire to be one body. And as one body, we have to understand that each body part plays a certain function, but we're all a part of one body. We thank you for the producer of this show. We thank you for his courage to allow an open platform, and we ask you to continue to bless him and to bless this show. We ask you for this success in the name of all of your holy prophets, messengers, warners, and redeemers that you have sent into the world to guide us back to your straight path. And we pray together, amen.
Amen. Thank you again for tuning in right here and for joining us, Minister Lee Muhammad. If you want to give us your information one more time before we get a couple of songs on, feel more than welcome. Thank you for tuning in right here on We Talk Radio. Minister Lee, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Give us your contact information one more time.
One more time. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic, but we're still going about our work, brother. We are in Fort Worth, Texas. We are Muhammad Mosque number 52 of the Nation of Islam. We're located on 1431 Evans Avenue, Fort Worth, Texas. You can call us 817-704-9253, and we have our meeting times. You can also go on the internet to www.noi.org. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., we have the national representative of the Honorable Minister of Farrakhan. She's a sister, actually, Sister Ava Muhammad, who will be teaching on the law of God. So tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m., www.noi.org, and I hope that God will bless all of us. Thank you again, dear brother, for having me on your show.
It's no problem. I thank you for coming on and enlightening us and giving us information that we really needed to know. I'm probably going to be giving you a call back as soon as the show is over, so be prepared.
That's my middle name, brother. Be prepared.
No problem. D-Ray, send me out with a couple of songs. Thank you again.
Thank you.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
I said it'd be good to you.
Come here, the party. Scream at your neighbor and say, I'm coming out. No, I want you to scream at him like you really know you're coming out. I'm gonna praise him for the good and the bad. Because I know, let me tell y'all something, if he did it for me, I know he'll do the same for you. So this time I want you to grab your neighbor by the hand and lift it up real high and say, we're coming out of this. We're coming out.
Won't he make you
Don't need time.
in the hopes they disappear. I try to let it go,
but I guess
you just don't want to know. And if I had a dime for every time I tried to call your name, oh, help me, I'd be wealthy. But I learned that I could make it. Oh, in nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold. I discovered I could take it. Oh, now I wouldn't change a thing. No, no. Let me say it like this. I learned that I could grow. I really did. I tried to let it show. I did. I tried to let it show.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.